is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
There's no middle place. There's right here, yeah. Sanctification, according to, I know this black lady was a wife of a pastor, and she died, came back, and said, sanctification happens here. And that, and her words have always haunted me, because, you know that I willfully sin.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was born again, my grandmother was a Catholic, my mother was a Catholic, I never believed, I didn't even know what Easter was for. And I'm 29 years of age, I'm into Eastern religions, but all these intelligent people around me are believing in Jesus. So I was like, okay, and take a chance, and I got born again in my living room, but, you know, I was delivered of, for instance, this may sound like a small thing to some people, maybe they can relate, I had a hard time with swearing. To the point where this would be pre-Jesus, and it was to the point where I was in a room with somebody, and he goes, "Rhett, my daughter's in the room." Oh, I'm sorry, you know. And it was not a very good word at all. Now, this just—it's something that this younger generation uses all the time. This guy that has the most successful podcast in the world says it every 17 seconds. But anyway, that's between him and God. But anyway. So all of a sudden, I noticed 2 weeks after my infilling of the Holy Spirit and being born again to God, to Jesus, and you know, to His kingdom, that I'd stopped swearing, and I marveled at this. I said, "Oh, wow, I'm not swearing anymore." And then I don't know, 9 months, a year later, I thought about swearing, but I didn't. But then after that, I thought about doing it, and then I did do it. So it had started to become a sin of commission instead of omission, as it was before. As of late, I'm not swearing. Sometimes I'll go back to it, but I don't want that. And I'll tell you why I don't want it. Because when I'm in the car, I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I don't care if I hear that word personally, but Your holiness is in this car. Your holiness is within me. And heaven forbid that I should offend the Holy One of God." Because even Jesus said, "All sins shall be forgiven man except blaspheme of the Holy Spirit." Mm-hmm. But the only time He said that was when he created a miracle, and they said, "Oh, do you do this by the power of Beelzebub?" And He sort of laughed and said, "I don't do this by the power of Beelzebub. A house divided cannot stand. So if I was evil, I wouldn't be healing people. And by the way, all sins shall be forgiven man except blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. Do not attribute the things of holy God, beautiful Holy Spirit, to, you know, to this Beelzebub or any other bug." You know, but anyway, so Del, I want to know, who are you? You were born in Canada?
Yes, I was born in Canada. I had an agnostic father and a mother who craved belief, but her doubts persisted.
Now, agnostic means not atheist, but one who admits that he does not know.
Correct, exactly. And that was my dad.
And your mother, again, what, say that again about her?
She wanted to believe. She thought she should believe, but she had too many doubts. And I think I inherited those doubts, because I'm one of the most skeptical people I know.
And yet you claim now that you're on fire for the Lord Jesus, right?
On fire.
What got you over that mountain of unbelief?
Right. Okay. So I paid no attention, like you, to the church until about the same age. But when I went to university, I got influenced by two things. I studied mechanical engineering, which is scientific, and was trained not to accept anything based on faith, intuition, belief, that I needed proof. So that said, hey, to me, there is no proof. So I got into atheism. But what I found after 4 or 5 years of studying atheism is they have no proof. There's no proof.
It takes a greater faith to believe there's not a God than there is a God.
Exactly. There's a great book on that. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. It's an excellent book. And anyway, so what happened was I I had a roommate who was Roman Catholic. We call him Cradle. In other words, he never questioned it. I met my late wife, who was a Cradle Roman Catholic, and I respected them both. And like you, I said, hey, they're smart people. If I'm right that there's no God and they're wrong, nobody loses anything. But if they're right and I'm wrong, I lose everything. So that was what made me convert, but it left me lukewarm. And the reason it left me lukewarm is because the lack of substantiation for Christian teaching. So because I'm a natural skeptic, I needed to establish a way of proving. Now, you can't prove, but what you can do is establish faith by reasoning. And that's not for everyone. Like in your case, no, you didn't need reasoning. You achieved being born again. God enabled you to be born again. But for many people who reject religion, it's because it's, you know, they're telling me this, but there's no substantiation for what they're saying. So that led me to philosophy. It led me to learn that reasoning is quite easy to master. And in chapter 13 of the book, we go through that and how reasoning can lead you to your purpose in life. And then the interesting thing that happened, Rhett, is that having established my faith by reasoning, then I looked back at religion and it was saying the same thing. Religion was reinforcing what I could only accept by reasoning. And like you, I looked at, in my search, I looked at other religions and I looked at spirituality. And what I discovered there is spirituality has the same answer of life's purpose. And it is best expressed, of course, by Jesus in his greatest command. So that's a big, that kind of takes me through the 2.5 decades of research that enabled me to put that into.
How did you escape the claws of spirituality? Because, you know, I too was a believer in Eastern religions from the age of, I've been a seeker of truth all my life. And from the age of 14, I read Autobiography of a Yogi. At 16, got inducted into Transcendental Meditation, blah, blah, blah. You know, Satchitananda and all the Yogananda and all these other things, and Babaji and all these other people. And
Wow, you did a lot, Red.
I also learned to meditate, but I went out into the woods and I was meditating and a white light descended upon me, hit me dead in the center of the head. My eyes started flashing. I started shaking and I don't know what, but my instinct said, this is not good. I did not know in the scriptures, would not know for years later that it said, beware, the devil comes as a light to deceive. So there's two things you got to watch out. Because they say that this other guy, I don't like to talk about him. A lot of people talk about him. I don't talk about him all the time. I said, don't talk about him. Drawn that to us. I don't want to give him any glory. But they say that if you do see this guy, you know, that he deceives by light. But he's a dark light. I got to see his cape once.
Yeah.
And, and it was outside my door in midnight, in the mid of night. And I fell to my knees screaming out in another language. And he went, vamoosh, but I saw it. And all I can do is tell you that it was black, but it sparkled.
Wow.
And later I would learn that Jesus said, beware of the light in you is dark, for how great is that darkness. So you can be so inverted to darkness that you actually sparkle. Well, at least his cape did. And when I sang, I was in my underwear and I fell to my knees and called out to God. She thought I would give him, I was speaking another language. And all of a sudden that thing went, whew. And I got back up in bed and went, oh my God, there really is a devil. Even though I'd been born again for quite a while, you know, a year maybe or more. And I said, wow. So I realized that, of course, he doesn't show up much. The greatest ploy he can have is to make people like you and I believe he doesn't exist.
Right.
He's a deceiver. He's the liar, the father of all lies.
Now, let me just comment on that briefly. I believe how he works is through intellectuals. That's one.
Well, in the scriptures, it says the mind of man is enmity with the spirit of God. Do you know that's in there?
I didn't know that, but I 100% accept that. And so, many, many more people are going to universities or post-secondary education than they did two generations
yes,
ago.
Yes, the glory of man. Our intellect is our God.
Yeah, and so they come up with all kinds of academic rationale for atheism. And that, to me, that's the devil working. He knows the ones that can do it. And it affects a number of people. I met visiting people that are shut in, that are in homes, homebound people.
That's what you do. That's a wonderful thing you do. Continue.
Thank you.
One
of them that I met was much like my mom. He wanted to believe, but he couldn't. He just couldn't get over it. And what I found frustrating is that the more I shared the material in the book, the more he would quote, okay, yeah, but this guy says this and that guy says that. And I said, well, it's fine that they're saying that, but you gotta ask yourself, does it make sense? And get over the fact that these guys have the truth. So yeah. So it's crucial to put things that are put in your mind by intellectuals in perspective and examine them and find, and that's what I do in the book quite a bit, is examine that stuff and put it aside. And, you know, chapter 12 of the book deals with atheism as an example.
Well, you know, it's kind of like we have a liberal political fraction or faction. I forget what the right word is here. Noah, do you know, is it fraction or faction? Anyway, that say, well, I have a better heart than you. So I can oppress you and I can muzzle you because I know what's best for society. This is emotionalism. And, you know, I used to be in the corner of the Democrats and the liberals, although I was a conservative later in life. I was a member of I was protesting on the campus of Vassar and, you know, Democrats, whatever it was, anyway. But here's what happens. If the extreme liberals think, I have a better heart, so it's okay for me to oppress you.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WC.